just because you're in an arena doesn't mean that you have to abide and bow down to the God of that world, right? And bow down to those systems or bow down to that culture. And because I knew that, it's like God was trying to send me a message and like, yo, if you go any further, this is how your life is going to go down.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. My friends, we are doing a big evangelism push in Canada this year where we are going to see 100,000 Canadians hear the gospel. It is called the 100K Harvest and is happening in 26 different cities across the nation. For more information on this, how you can be equipped, how you can participate, and how you can download the app, go to our website at discipleofcity.ca. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Friends, please subscribe and follow along to help get these great testimonies out there. And follow us along on Instagram at @Toddcast_DAC. Well, my guest today is originally from Orlando, Florida. He attended Ohio State Temple University, has played professional basketball in 15 different countries, including Canada and the U.S. He's currently playing for the KW Titans, and if that isn't enough, he's also a motivational speaker and a rap artist who's been dropping singles since 2024. His latest release is titled But God. Please welcome Anthony Lee Jr.
Hey, what's up, my guy? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Welcome, man. Welcome. Thanks for taking the time to come on today and chat with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Man, it's been, I'm trying to get this done for over a month now, which is not super long, but as soon as I heard about you and one of my friends from I Am Second told me, I was excited to get on. So I'm glad we're here now.
Yeah, it would have been, awesome to, do it in person too. We got to meet a little while ago, and I'd need a booster chair though, because you're kind of a short man at 6'9", eh?
All right.
Just when you think you're tall, mm-hmm. for a guy like me, yeah, man, it's really good that we get this opportunity. Anthony, I just love to start at the beginning. Just before we came on, you said that you were actually grew up in both Maryland and Orlando, but the latter part of your life was in Orlando. What was that transition like, and what was it like for you living in Orlando as far as faith goes and just as a younger guy in Orlando?
Yeah. Like you said, I grew up in Maryland, and I transitioned from Maryland to Florida around 16. And a lot of that had to do with just my family moving down there. And I got put onto a basketball team just because I was able to flourish a little more. Because Maryland was heavily talented with a lot of great basketball players. And so I was a late bloomer. So Florida kind of opened up the door for me to shine and get great exposure. So Florida, for me, was really the stepping stone to just the basketball career and having the potential to see myself playing college basketball. And then I would just say on the faith side, my parents are pastors for 10 years in Maryland. So with that, I mean, I just carried all of that with me to Florida. I really just tried to lock in on the gift that God had given me with basketball. And so living in Florida, it was good right before I went to college. But then when I went to college, a lot of things changed for me spiritually. So when I would go back to Orlando, my mindset and how I was living was pretty different than how it was when I came in to college.
Yeah. So just like exposure to college and just sort of the whole different lifestyle and everything?
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, being a pastor's kid or anybody that is in a family that just try to teach them the word of God, you know, once you get out on your own, you're exposed to a lot more stuff. And now you're not under the same umbrella because you have all the ability to do whatever you want to do. So I think for me, that's what happened. And also playing basketball, being at a big school, having a lot of notoriety and attention, just all the access I had to stuff. You know, I was fighting a tug of war in the spirit with good and evil, and still trying to be cool and trying to be a Christian, right? So.
So when you finished university there, this was Ohio, you went back to Orlando or what?
Yeah, so I went to Temple for 4 years first, and then I went to Ohio State, transferred there my last year. And then my family had, for a short time, moved to Iowa. So now that you're catching on, we moved a lot, but it was all for different purposes. But my dad went and preached, took over my grandpa's church, and he went and took on that assignment for a few years. So, when I went to Ohio State, my family was living in Iowa. So I wasn't there all the time because, you know, I'm going back and forth in school. But, they were there and they were doing ministry there. So right after I was in college, then I went to play pro a couple months after. So I've never really been home longer than 6 months, maybe 4 months since I left to go to college.
Which would be for in the U.S. is what, 18?
Yeah, so, yep. My career is crazy. So I went to college at 19.
At 19? And so forgive this Canadian, but Ohio State and Temple are two different universities. I made it sound like what?
Two different universities. Temple University is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Sorry to our American friends. It's the cold up here in Canada that's made me not realize this.
And Ohio State is really known for just their the football, basketball, and then their alumni, right? So a lot of people know Ohio State. And then, you know, Canada's close to the border, Michigan. So any Michigan people listening, you know, I know y'all may have beef with me, but John Price, we brothers and sisters still. So there was a lot of wars and stuff like that when I was playing at Ohio State, because, you know, they have a big rivalry. So, yeah, man, that's how my college career went, basketball-wise.
And so after that, you said you come out of school and then you went in pro. So what does that look like?
Oh, man, like normally when you're done with school and you have no more eligibility left, well, that's the situation I was in. Whether it's that or you have the potential to go pro early, you pretty much you have about 3 months, 3-4 months to get ready, whether it's for an NBA draft or you will be signed to an agent that can get you a job overseas. And it really depends on how well you played in college sometimes, where your first landing spot is. So not every landing spot for a person that goes pro is peaches and cream. It's not always the best place because there's so many countries, so many leagues in Europe, Asia, and South America that you could be anywhere. But it's a great experience, you know, depending on the places you go, right?
So where did you go first once you got pro? Because 15 different countries, you've seen a lot of the planet, which is awesome. But where did you go first?
So the very first place I went to was Hungary. And I wasn't there that long. What happened was, long story short, I got there. Man, I probably was there for like not even 2 weeks. Maybe almost 2 weeks. And you know, I felt like I was doing well, you know, just showing my athleticism and doing everything I need to do. We played one preseason game, and then we went somewhere to stay at like a campground, like in the woods. But it was really, really nice because we was going to play some teams. And we get off the bus, and we're gone for like, we're supposed to be gone for a week and a half. So I left all my stuff back in Hungary, and the coach gets out and tells me, hey, you know, we're going to be shipping you to Austria. Austria, what? So I get on the phone with my agent right away, and I'm like, what? How can they do that? Like, is it like a trade or something? You know, like literally. So they had the team from Austria pick me up the next day, and all my stuff is still in Hungary. And like the explanation was they thought I was taller and bigger, right? I'm 6'9". Like, so now think about it, Todd. I'm 6'9", and I'm pretty much like this back then, but they thought I was bigger than that. So I guess their expectation of me, they wanted to be like Shaq or something like that. I don't know, but that was the reasoning. And so when I went to Austria, you know, I did a good job my first year, but that's how my first pro experience went.
Did you get a chance to play in Hungary or for that team? Like, did you play a few games?
I played one game and that was it. I played one game and it was a preseason game.
Wow.
And then we were going because we were going to play in a tournament. So we went on the bus ride, went to that cabin. As soon as I got off the bus, coach said, come here, told me. And I'm just like flabbergasted, like, what's going on? Like, already? Like, what's. So, but it was good because it worked out. I played good in Austria. It was Fürstenfeld. That was a good experience for me for the most part.
So how old are you at this point? Now you're in Austria. How old are you now?
I'm like, because I graduated at 23, so I'm like 24 now, my first pro.
And you go there, you don't know anybody. You're just, you're totally on your own.
Yep. Don't know anybody. And, I'm just, you know, testing out the waters of what this pro experience is like.
And where's your faith at this point? Like now after college, and now this would even be a huge drastic life change.
Man,
like extreme, right?
My faith was, what's the best word I can pick? My faith was lonely. I went through a lot in college, especially my last year at Ohio State. So my first year going into pro, man, I was just trying to survive. Meaning, like, in terms of my faith, I'm like, man, I'm just trying to survive. I'm trying to keep God in my life because now, you know, I'm bitter at God. I'm upset. There's were certain things that went down with my college career in the very end. And now I'm in Austria after being, like, traded, I guess, already. And so I'm like, you know what? While I'm out here, I'm just going to do my thing. Like, I've been doing my thing the last few years, meaning, like, just kind of living how I wanted to live because of my bitterness, because of me feeling like God abandoned me in a way. So I just lived however I was living. I was getting it with the girls. I was going out. I was having fun. I'm like, I might as well have fun while I'm here. Fun fact, because I don't really say, I've never said this on the podcast, but it's where I got my first tattoos in Austria. Never got tatted up. Got my first tattoos, faith. And now, ironically, I got tests of faith and family, right? But yeah, so my faith was not at the level where it needed to be due to all the things I experienced.
But that spiritual battle is obviously going on because you're going out and you're doing the party,
yeah,
pro sport thing. And at the same time, you're getting a tat of faith on your.
Right, right. The contradiction. Yeah. It was just what I knew. I do believe in God. So let me get something that still represents my faith, right?
Yeah. So were you somewhat happy? Was there that struggle too? Because like you're living the dream. Or is that still the dream? Or is the dream to play pro sports if you're American in the U.S.? Or even if you're in Europe, is it still? Are you still feeling like you're living the dream or not so much because it's so foreign?
I'm keeping honest with you. I didn't feel like I was living the dream, but I knew I was given an opportunity that some people don't even get to go play in another country, experience different cities. So that part I understood. I was blessed, but I wasn't really happy. It was like, I'm here and I got to try to play as well as I can to try to make it to the NBA, you know? So I wasn't happy, but I knew how to distract myself with other things.
So that's kind of the goal is to grind over there to get back to the and get into the NBA.
Yeah. Because when it's your first year, you know, your first year coming out, if you still have those aspirations, you want to do as well as you can to just keep going up, right? And so There's a lot of other places in overseas basketball where if you go there, you may love it, and you get paid well. They treat you good, and the NBA still may be in your mind, but you're content. For me, with my situation, I wasn't content. Like me even going there, was like, all right, let me just do what I got to do, and I'm trying to make an uphill climb back to where I feel like I should be. So.
So how long in Austria, and where'd you go from there?
So I was in Austria the whole season. I would say like 7, 8 months, and then my second year, I ended up doing the NBA G League for the Chicago Bulls. And when that happened, I was trying to, get back into the league. I was trying to get into the league somehow. So I did a workout for them. And then I did something for the Orlando Magic, the hometown team, right? But I ended up getting drafted by the Chicago Bulls G League team. So that was kind of, where you could tell the politics in that. I mean, there's a lot of deeper stuff I can go into, but for sake of time, I knew I wasn't gonna be on that team long because you could tell when you get there who their guys are. Stuff is political, right? So I don't know. It's like you could tell when you're like a fill-in or like you're just extra bodies, even though they say you get drafted and whatnot, because you see how the coaches are interacting with the players that's gonna be on a team compared to ones that they're really trying to look at, So I wasn't there super long, but I got a taste and experience. To just be around that atmosphere. And so then I ended up going to Slovakia.
So when you were with the Bulls, this is you're back in the US, do all that, and then
2016.
back to Europe again.
So I was, and then I went to Slovakia. Slovakia was nice. I was doing good there. And then I went to Slovakia, to Israel, all in the same year.
Oh.
And so sometimes people don't understand, and you kind of have to give them the game. So a lot of times when players are moving around like me, it's because your goal as a good player, as an American import, is to go to a team where you are the guy. You're getting good stats because what they'll lie to you about agents and coaches is that your stats don't matter. Stats do matter. Because then it raises your salary, right? So you want to have good stats while you're winning. But if you have okay and mediocre stats to people, even if you're winning, they then assume that you aren't capable of being that go-to guy or a leading scorer or being a very important player. So you're like in this pendulum, like where you're trying to be a good teammate, do what you want to do to help the team. But now you're like, okay, like we're winning. But for next year, when teams look at this, if I'm only averaging 5 points and five rebounds, even though I know I can do more, they're gonna think, he's not very productive. So I went from that team because I was doing well. I was like doing really well playing small minutes. Like I had like averaged like 9 points, eight rebounds, and like 13 minutes. Right. And teams usually tell you, oh, yeah, you're going to play a lot. And then when you get there, sometimes they're very consumed with their own national players. It's a lot of stuff that goes into European basketball and overseas basketball that people don't see. As an American, you could be good, but when they're trying to push their own, sometimes it's a tug of war, right?
Yeah.
But they lie to you to get you over there because they know you're good, but then they already have ulterior motives. So I was like, okay, like, why didn't y'all just tell me this? So I told my agent, like, man, like, come on, man, like, this is not gonna look good for me next year. Although we're winning, it's gonna be looked as if I'm not doing good. Like, statistical, I can't play. So I said, can you find another place? Found Israel. So I'm like, Israel, wow. This is what I've seen in the Bible.
Yeah.
Israel has a league, and Israel has like one of the biggest leagues in the world. Ended up going there. And I went to the second division, and my stats went crazy out there in Israel.
So now, what was that like for from a spiritual sense, did you have, were your schedules super busy, or did you have time to go see some like biblical stuff and things that people do? Or
yeah, so I was able to go on a Bible tour, and it's funny because I said that that changed my life, but it didn't change my life. Because I've always said that it didn't change my life. It made me open up my eyes to see how real the Bible was in person. Because I've always seen it from a Bible perspective, reading it, you know, seeing how people talk about it, me experiencing God for myself. But now I'm seeing the actual artifacts and everything there in person. And it was a whoa factor, but it didn't change me on the inside, which is crazy, right? Like, how crazy is that? You to be in the Holy Land, you see everything, you get this emotional feeling, right? But then you go back to doing what you're doing because Christ is not really inside of you the way that you say. You just profess it with your lips. You just profess it with your actions. But on the inside, you're not changing, right? There's not a real sanctification. So, but that experience is good. I've always remembered that. And now I want to go back because how my relationship is with God now. I just feel like, man, he may either reveal something to me, or I would just, I don't know, just I feel like another level of just my appreciation would just raise, because now I'm going in fully surrendered. When I was there, I was just enamored by it, but I wasn't a heart change.
But, you know, I mean, even that in of itself is biblical, right? In the sense that, you know, look at those stories in the Bible that we may read now where we're at, of how he did miracles in front of people and it still didn't change them. Or they still question it, or they still didn't believe, and they were there seeing it. So I guess in a way, right, even seeing stuff with your eyes, it's not heart posture like you're talking about.
Yeah, man. Yep.
So how long were you in Israel? And then take us out of that to where was the shift for you from a spiritual sense? Where did you sort of come back around where something changed on the inside of you?
So I was in Israel. I was there for like 5 months to finish out the year. Cause you know, I was on three teams that year. So I finished out that year. And spiritually, man, I was on. So if I give, usually how I tell the testimony when I tell it to people, because I'm giving you different parts that I've never really shared with anyone in my basketball landings, but there was a 7-year period. So from college, from Temple all the way to Ohio State, and to the first four years of my pro career, man, I wasn't living it. The way that I would speak it, the way that I proclaimed it. So I was one of those carnal Christians, lukewarm Christians, compromising Christians. And it really didn't change for me until I would say like 20, say probably like 2018.
Did your parents, where were your parents at? Were you able to like hide this from them type thing? Or did they know what was going on?
They didn't know anything. And
or so you thought. They might have known in the spirit, have been praying for you.
I think they was praying for me hard, but then when I revealed a lot of stuff, now it made sense to them why maybe there was so many things going on in my basketball career. Because what sometimes people don't understand is that your purpose and destiny is always tied to things in the spirit realm. It's very spiritual.
Yeah.
Like, when God has a plan and purpose for you, a lot of times the gift that he's called you to, he will only open up doors for you when you are aligned with his word, when you are being obedient to what he wants you to do. Because the gifts that he's given us is for us to serve others. It's for us to share the gospel. So a lot of times, if we're not walking in that calling or that gift or that talent that he's given us, he'll shut different doors, or he'll make things difficult for you, even though you're like, man, I should be here, I should be there. And the reason why you're struggling is because he's trying to discipline you in a way to like get you on the right track. So now when he sees that you're ready and you're able to take on what he has for you, he can trust you and he can give you what you need and put you in a good position. So when I wasn't doing that and I was always having these issues, like I'm playing good, but it's just like, this is stuff that's not happening right. And then my parents could see that, but they didn't really know. So when I got into this crazy jam, like when I got back to Florida, because my parents moved back to Florida in 2015. They moved back to Florida around 2017, 2018. I was, you know, I played in Greece. So played in Greece, had a good year in Greece. Was making good money. But I was living how I wanted to live. So now I'm really kind of living that, I ain't going to say rock star life, but it's like I'm doing really well basketball-wise. But so now I'm like, oh, I could do this, I could do that. Because nothing bad has happened to me in terms of how God would discipline me. And so I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, I'm okay. So I'm just doing all the things at another level, right? Like, now I'm going to different clubs, you know, with different NBA players I know. I'm living that life. Like, for real, for real. And then I got caught up in a bad situation with the woman. And, you know, it's when I had to fully surrender because, you know, I thought something was going to happen, right? To me, for lack of better words, that I wasn't ready for and prepared for. So I had to surrender to God. And I just said, listen, if you just allow this situation to turn around for my good, if you get this woman out of my life, because I know I messed up, it wasn't the right person, like, I will serve you, like, I surrender. So this is like around 2018, and my parents like knew the stuff that was going on. So now they're like, oh, you've been doing this for a long time, like just getting with women, just doing, you know, just I'm living a prototype basketball player life. But at the same time, when God knows, when your parents or people know that God wants to use you, that's not an excuse. When you know that God is calling you, that's not an excuse. Just because you're in an arena doesn't mean that you have to abide and bow down to the God of that world, right? And bow down to those systems or bow down to that culture. And because I knew that, it's like God was trying to send me a message and like, yo, if you go any further, this is how your life is going to go down. And so it's almost like he arrested me so I can get on the right path and really turn my life around spiritually. Because again, I'm a pastor kid. I would still watch church. I would still pray. I would still do different things. But after basketball games are done, oh, we going out to party. Oh, we going to go get chicks. Yeah. I'm going to do that because that's what basketball players do, right?
Yeah. And you know what? That's that really speaks to the need to have Christ in our heart for us to open it up and receive that for ourselves as individuals, because you're brought up in it. You know, like lots of kids, you're brought up in it, but that's the product of your culture. Right. Mm-hmm. Which when you're a kid, it's genuine, I think, anyways, you know, like when you're little. But then it gets to a point where you really have to embrace what does that look like on the inside for you, obviously, as these years were, like you said, that spiritual battle for your soul, essentially. Hey.
Yeah.
So what was the answer to that prayer, or what happened there?
So, you know, there was a lot of like lies and stuff like that. That was, you know, happening and taking place, and God just like shut the mouths of like the enemy, where it allowed me, it's like God made a way of escape, right? So I basically had somebody that was like a off the court manager, because now the funny thing was I was playing basketball, and so I was trying to do things in the community in God's name. But I didn't have the right person that was managing me off the court for those off the court things. So I started my brand called AV3, and it was really more than basketball. So I got caught up just in a situation with a lady that wasn't right. And so you know, a lot of stuff. And this is really just between me and her. It's not like people in the city knew or nothing like that. Orlando's big, right? So I'm really just kind of letting you dive deep into what happened. So, you know, situation went down when she was saying that she was pregnant and stuff like that. Now, you heard it first. Like, I've never said this on a podcast. But, and come to find out, she was just lying, right? But it had me so scared that I'm like, oh my gosh, no, it cannot be this. So I'm scared out of my mind for a month because now she's like, what do you call it? The word that I'm looking for. Shoot.
She's trying to blackmail you, like?
Yeah, trying to blackmail me. And dang. So, oh my gosh, I'm thinking about others for it. Like when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the desert.
Yeah.
Tormented. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Tormented.
And just tormented. And I'm like, and it's driving me crazy because I have to tell my parents, like, you know, like, she's saying this. And so come to find out, she was just lying, just kind of holding it over my head. But she went ghost and was just, like, doing whatever. So that is what made me change because I'm like, yo, this is the scariest thing in the world. Like, to me at that time, I'm like, heck no, I can't allow this to happen. So when that happened, God, like, showed me so much grace. He showed me so much grace that I was having a big basketball camp. It had like about 70 people come. Like, so I was still doing great things in the community, proclaiming to be a good guy. Nobody knows how I'm really living my life, but that's what a lot of pro athletes or people do. Like, they do good things in the community, but they're living a hellish life, right? But it looks good on the outside because you're putting on a camp, you're putting on things for the community to enjoy. But I had that situation go down, and when God pretty much cleared that, I was like, you know what, you can have all of me. And what he did at that point was he dropped, you know, my wife in my life at the very same time. And I'm like, what kind of God is this? Like, that could bless me in the midst of such a crazy situation and show me his mercy and grace. So even when I mention my wife, people don't understand, like, that me even picking my wife really had to do with just me seeing how much God loved me, that he would put somebody in my life that that could be everything that I needed and wanted at that time. Because I had a lot of girls, I had a lot of women, but nobody that was like really trying to walk that walk. So when I saw that for real, I'm like, oh, I need to straighten up because I could lose something like this if I continue to just mess around with other women.
Was this in Orlando?
Yeah, but she's Canadian. So when I had this camp, so while I'm in my mess, something impressed upon me, and I had no clue that it was really God, but I just asked her to come to my camp and come speak. From the little town in Sarnia, I had different pro basketball players come from around the country to speak at my camp. She was one that came from outside of Canada, and we hit it off right away. Like, we had already been talking for 2 months. I knew she was different. So when she came in person, I was just the icing on the cake. Met my family that night, and they were like, wow, she's different. She's Italian and everything like that. And I'm just gonna keep it real, like, because if I get on other podcasts where this question comes about, I want people to know this, because sometimes it's a stigma in our culture, in our community, even in the Black community sometimes. But like, I always had dated Black people, right? Not because I never had friends or liked any girls that were Caucasian or whatever. But now that I'm married, I know a lot of people that that don't really care that you marry who you marry. But sometimes people wonder, like, how did you go from that? From you know, from your style and taste, right? Because we're talking about women, right? So I don't know, a lot of people that like women, you like all types, right? But then who you end up settling with, sometimes it may shock or surprise people because of who you typically would go after. So I always say my choice and who God wanted me to have was a God thing, right? And obviously she's beautiful, I love her and all that type of stuff. But that's how it happened. And so her coming from a small town, being Italian, and then we just hitting it off, my parents being fond of her, while all this other stuff was just starting to dissipate. It's like, God, man, you really care about me. Because how did you just drop her in my life like that in a hat? And so when I knew, I let go of all the good. Like, even my dad told me, he's like, after they knew the situation, you need to let go of everybody that you talk to. And I did that, man, in a day. I took a whole day to just delete all different type of girls that I've had known forever. And but that was the real shift. And I know I'm kind of going long, but that was the shift that happened. And from then on out, from that point on, God had to like redirect my mind and thinking, because now, just because that stuff happened didn't mean that I was perfect. I had to come out of like a lot of delusion. I had to come out a lot of wickedness, right? So.
That's awesome. Like, that's so cool. Beyond the fact of how you meet a girl, like, it's totally God, right? How you meet a girl from Sarnia, Ontario, in Orlando.
Right.
But so awesome, dude, how you something was different,
Yeah,
right? Like,
for
something
sure.
was different about her. And God loves us, right? And it speaks truth to me. Your story, just that piece there, just speaks to the truth that the Bible's not a rule book, man. It's advice, right? It's like, hey, don't live. This isn't going to be good for you. And right, and you're living these certain ways, and what wasn't good for your soul wasn't good. All these things happen, and he has a plan. And as soon as you like embrace that, things start to shift, as you're saying. That's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
So good. So. Okay, so you guys obviously things connected, met your family, all that kind of stuff. How long after that did you guys get married, or what was the sort of the next steps that brought you to Canada to be playing with KW Titans?
Okay, so I'll move swiftly through this. So we my camp was July 20th, 2018. We started dating a month afterwards in August. And then I knew that she was the one. So it worked out while we were both playing overseas. I flew to Canada because she got a break from her team to go to her brother's wedding. And I was able to find a way to do the same thing as a prizer. And I proposed to her in November. November.
Sorry, she's playing basketball too?
Yeah, she's a pro basketball player, so she just retired last
Okay.
year.
Oh, cool.
She played 10 years, so that's why when I invited her to my camp, she was a speaker and a pro basketball player at that time.
Awesome.
I did that. We got engaged. Yeah, see, I'm making it was either October, late October, or beginning of November, and then we got married the following year, August 3rd, 2019. So, because we were playing basketball overseas, so our wedding needed to be in the summer. So we just kind of went through that whole phase of being engaged and really just connecting and got married August 3rd, 2019, which we're approaching 6 years this upcoming August. And so fast forward, we were able to play in like four different countries together.
Wow.
So in Spain and Greece and Macedonia and in Chile. And so 2023 is when we found out we were pregnant. And then once we found out we were pregnant, I'm like, okay, God, so I've been on this journey. I've been living right. Like, you've really been getting me back on the right path. It's been 7 years now. And I'm like, you've given me all these gifts. Like, I know I love the word. I do love you. Obviously, I just got off track. I do have this gift in music. I do have this gift in wanting to preach and wanting to inspire and talk to people, empower them, encourage them in the word. But right now, I'm playing overseas, and I'm like, there's a language barrier in different countries that I've been at. There's also different rules against the Christian religion. Like, you can't be as outspoken, even if it's just talking about God and Christ, if you're in a Muslim country, right? So I'm like, so what do you want me to do with basketball? I've been contemplating for a few years up until 2023. Like, should I retire? Like, where are we going to live? What are we going to do? Because now she's from Canada, I'm from Florida. And so we were having a little tiff for a couple of years because I wanted to be in America, she wants to be in Canada. So I'm like, God, you have to work this out. But now that we have a baby, we really had to find some roots now. It's like the baby forced us to pick where we were going to be. And I'm like, God, if we can't agree on this, you know, because for whatever reason, we just liked what we liked, then you got to open up a door that is going to make sense of where you want me to be. Because I'm the man, I'm the leader, I'm the one that's providing, but then I'm also knowing what you've put inside of me. So it has to be a place. And I'm like, dear Lord, please don't let it be Sarnia. Not that. Only because, so like the last few years while we're playing together, we would go back and forth in the summer. We only had 3 months to chill before we go back in the season. And I like Sarnia. So don't get me wrong. All my Sarnians, I love y'all. I'm having a concert, Light Up the City there. So obviously I love y'all. August 16th, I'll be in Sarnia. But to live there long term, it was just, I'm like, okay, what God has inside of me, like, I want to be with people that are, you know, that understand the culture of, I don't know, it's just a different type of living. Country living and suburb and city living is different. I want to live in a, I don't mind living in a country place that's close to suburban area in the city. I don't mind that. But when you're so far from the big cities, like I'm talking about like an hour and a half, like I'm like, man, I don't know. So God, how do you want to use me? So long story short, he just, I went on a fast, a 2-day fast, and he told me everything I was going to do. So it's crazy because we're in 2025. I'm doing everything he's told me that I was going to do. I didn't know where it was going to happen. So I didn't know I was going to be playing in Canada. So when I had that fast, I told my wife, I was like, Sarnia is not it, babe. And she's like, how do you know? Like, I'm like, trust me. And like, you know, it's kind of a sensitive thing because she wants to be with family. But I'm like, if I'm following God, I know I'm going to have to say the tough things. But I'm like, God, well, you're going to have to do it. Because if you really told me this, now you're going to have to let it be seen by her so you know that I heard from you, right? So we went to Kosovo 2023. We were pregnant. And we were just trying to try it out because obviously I was getting paid more money overseas at this point. And it just didn't work out because the health care wasn't good. So my wife was like, I want to have the baby in Canada. So I'm like, dang, okay. So do I want to be overseas while you're doing all of this stuff? I'm like, no, this is the first baby. Like, I want to be there. So we got to Kosovo. We ended up leaving Kosovo. But in the middle of that process, while we were in Kosovo, it was like, look at a team in Canada. And so I'm looking at different teams. I reached out to KW first. They answered and responded right away. I talked to the owner, I talked to the coach, and it was like they liked me. And I'm like, whoa. Then I heard what the salary was, and I'm like, whoa. Okay, I don't know about this, but like, God, what you gonna do? Like
whoa, not good?
Good. Compared to overseas, right? And Canada basketball, Canadian basketball for this league, you know, it's different with all the teams that you have. So I'm having a baby. We need to plant roots. And I'm like, God, okay, well, if this is where you want to be, because this is the only team at the time that wanted me and knew of me, God told me this is going to be worth more than money can buy. And I'm like, all right, I got to trust you because now I know I'm going back to North America. I know that I can have more freedom and just being what you called me to be. And now I'm being a public figure playing basketball and now can be an example for you. This is what God wanted me to do while I was in college. So I understand this. When I had my college experience and my pro experience in America, I feel like if I was doing those things, God would have opened up a door for me to stick and do what he needed me to do. But he saw I wasn't living that way. So it's almost like he redeemed me, gave me redemption, knowing that, okay, when you go here now in North America, this is what I want you to do. So it's like, trust me, don't worry about the money. Anyway, I get there and I get here to KW and I had a great season, but what opened up for me was stuff that I didn't know what happened. So I just got involved in speaking different places. And, you know, I'm a public speaker. I've been speaking at a lot of schools the last 2 years. The music has opened up a lot of doors. And then last year is when God like revealed to me while I was doing my music to start something called Light of the City. And that's where we find myself now. But yeah, long journey, but it's like God does things in his time and not our time.
And that's a good segue because I got Light Up the City queued up. So this is on Spotify because, like I said at the beginning, friends, Anthony or Ant Lee, your handle for Instagram and for your music. We'll leave that. That'll be in the description here where you can link up with all that stuff. But this is Light Up the City, which seems to be your most popular tune right now. And so as this plays in, share a little bit about behind this song and also what Light Up the City is as you're saying it, as a something that you're doing right now.
Yeah, so Light Up the City. So I went to a radio station last year in 2024. While I was doing it, I was hosting, while I was still playing for the KW Titans, I was hosting the Faith and Family Night. And I ended up going to a radio station where one of my good friends now, Michael Harris, and he was like, "Man, do you do music? Whatever." And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Man, I got a studio that you can go to." And I thought music was going to be done for me. I've always done music since I was 14. Been in Christian rap groups and stuff like that. Anyway, when I got into the studio, I was so prepared. I got about 10 songs done in 2 hours. I'm talking about legit good 10 songs. Because it's like, I've been seasoned, I've been ready. I'm like, if I ever got back into a studio again, like, I'm going to lay all this stuff down. So when I did that, I'm like, oh man, God, what do you want me to do with this stuff? And God was like, with your platform, with what you're doing in the city, I'm going to give you this name called Light Up the City, where your basketball is a tool that opens up the door for you to do stuff for me. And that includes your music. So that's how it came about. And then maybe 3 days before the actual concert, I'm like, let me do a Light Up the City song. So I recorded Light Up the City like maybe 2 days before the concert. 2 days before the actual concert that God gave me to do. And I performed it live. And that concert, man, the first place that I had it pretty much sold out. 200 people had giveaways. We had praise and worship. I obviously had like the main headliner and did my concert. And people were blown away.
Awesome. Awesome. Here it is, friends. Here's a little bit. It's the anthem, so get your hands up. We lighting up the city, celebrating. All you with me, I pull up in your city. Yeah, we getting busy. Clocking in, chest bumping, going eight grizzly. Yeah, we getting litty. Not from being tipsy. Passionate for God, so you know we gotta be gritty. Frank Nitty, LA. I pray them boys are okay. Passionate for God, which you really, really became, hey?
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's just a testament. And Light Up the City was pretty much based out of the scripture, Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. And I actually got it right here, where it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." And 16 is my favorite part of the scripture. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And that's what lighting up the city really means, man. I want my light to be shined, but we want to light up the city and bring revival and bring a passionate fire to people, so people can see, like, Christians are not whack, that is not boring. We know how to have fun in God and still live a good moral life, like living morality, like, And I understand how we can fellowship, enjoy ourselves, hear good music, God just be glorified. Like, make that popular.
Come on.
And I think it is becoming like that, but we're talking about hitting the cities where it feels like it's dead. Hitting the cities that needs a spark, that needs to be rejuvenated. So that's why it's called Light of the City, because wherever city I'm doing a Light of the City at, and a church is hosting me and hosting this event, we want to bring the city out. We want to assemble churches, youth groups, young adults together. And that's what that means. So if I'm coming to your city, whatever church I'm going to, it's not just for your people, not just for your church. We want to assemble the city to glorify God together and do it in a way that's going to light up a fire in the young people, the young adults and the adults, and do it together.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Your latest release here. Let's have a little sample here of your latest release. And this is called But God.
But
doing what I'm supposed to do. You don't know what I've been through. I always hear everyone say that's a usual. Let me give you a visual. A life-changing injury was critical. In a hospital dark room, couldn't move back, broke. Rather have had different strokes. A joke. I wish that part was a hoax. To say I let you go after all you did for me. Dying on Calvary, what I smoke. Out of that time, but I tried it. Years in a line. I did that and drinking was doubted. But not all the time. But yeah, I crossed that line. And my soul was dying. Had an epiphany. Many times I cried. Destiny was circling back in another lifetime. But during that time, if I died, hell was probably my next ride. Cause I compromised all the way up to my demise. As a pro or as a foe, taking hymns ahead and like this new light of mine. I still had hope, still chose hope. Can you believe it though? God's faithful, believe it, bro. Read it, yo, eat it, yo. Ain't digested, cause your life was infected. And my life was detected, cause I needed correction.
After hearing your story, like, I like lyrics anyway and always listen to lyrics of songs during music, but after hearing your story, it's like I'm like find myself really intently listening to what you're saying here, you know.
This is Florida to Greece, this part right here.
Had a feast and read the Norman Creek, but Paul used to preach. I didn't miss a beat. I was out in the streets, and after hours,
it's good, bro. So good. And man, how busy are you? Like a dad, a husband, motivational speaking. You're still playing basketball, and you're doing the music, and you're doing these tours.
Yeah. So everything is pretty much become a balanced structure. So basketball season has been over since April, so it doesn't start again until late November. So really I'm just working out, you know, staying in shape. Then being a husband and a father is consistent. That's daily. So just waking up, making sure that I put them first. And I know a lot of people may say that because sometimes it's harder said than done when you're trying to do other things, to put food on the table, whatever, but making sure that they're first. So I try to balance that out as best as I can. And then when it comes to the music, the speaking, a lot of it right now has been word of mouth, right? And I am kind of looking for a manager, booking agent, just because I know in this field of what I do and trying to expand the ministry is good for more people to know who you are when you have people that can vouch for you and rally behind you and kind of manage what you're doing. So I am looking for that. But right now it's just been word of mouth. So people have just reached out to me. So, you know, dates have been coming up, which I'm thankful for. And then Light Up the City. I have two cities so far that I'm going to. Halifax, July 25th. So all the people in Halifax, if this goes out to you guys, I'm having something called Light Up the City there. It's going to be really good. July 25th, I'm going to have 1AT, Christian rapper, and John Corbin is going to be there. They're well known all over Canada.
Yeah, we've had 1AT on the show, too.
Yeah, 1AT?
Yeah, yep.
And then I'm going to do a concert in Sarnia, where I'm going to have Jamie Hiscox. He's really known in that area. An artist that's going to join me. So I have those two dates and a few engagements in the summer. But I'm looking to add some more dates and trying to just come up with some more places where we can bring Light Up the City.
That's awesome. When was that again in Halifax? July what? Sorry?
July 25th. July 25th.
July 25th, friends, if you're in the East Coast, even Moncton, it's not a far drive for our friends down in the East Coast. I know some people down there, too, so we'll spread the word for you, man.
Please do, please do. If you guys want to go online to see what it's about, it's anthonyleejr.com. Anthonyleejr.com. I'm having a basketball camp as well. So, and both and at most places, I'm doing a basketball camp that morning. And tickets that kids that sign up for the basketball camp, they come to the concert for free that night.
Awesome.
I would love it.
Awesome. Anthony, thank you so much for your time, man, and sharing your story.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I
Thank
really
you.
appreciate it. And just really appreciate you sharing, the truth and the reality of finding God in your heart for yourself.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. This was great.
Friends, show Anthony some love on Spotify and all the streaming platforms. Antlee Junior, you'll link up with there. Follow him on Instagram and all the stuff. The website, he said again, anthonyleejr.com. We'll post all these things in the description too, so you can easily click on them. And my friend, I just have one more question for you before we part today. As you're doing these camps and young people are coming and somebody young who's actually connected with you because of basketball, say before the music, and the music is just the thing that brought you together. But you can see that they're gunning for the NBA, like that's where their heart is. But you can sense, you can see some of you in them, in the sense of wanting to live the way the pros live. What advice would you give that young person?
I would tell them to don't be deceived by the don't be deceived by the lavish lifestyle and the glitz and glamour, because all of those things are going to pass away. And it may be cliche to say, but only what you do for Christ will last. And so God wants to bless us with those things. He wants to bless us from the gift that we, put our heart into. Where we can attain things that's going to help us use it as resources to help build the kingdom. But don't get swayed to the left or the right, or don't get distracted by the world's rewards, because that what ultimately leads you to destruction. And God wants to give you life, your gifts, talents, to serve others. So just don't be distracted.
Amen. Great word. Thanks a lot, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
It was an honor to chat with you today, and it was even better to have met you in person a little while back. I'm looking forward to meeting you again someday, friend.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, man. Take care.
Light up the city, friends. God has a calling for you. Whether you grew up in it or not, in the faith that is, God has a calling for you. And I tell you, this story is evidence that the Bible is not a rule book, but it's advice from a loving father who wants the best for you, who has a plan for you, but gives you the freedom to make the choice yourself. But he's calling you to him, and the fruit is joy.